Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the darkness, a light shines. That's what Isaiah says. And that light is the Lord, he says. The glory of the Lord that has now arisen and calls nations and kings to come to him. Before, he says, they had been in darkness and fear, captive to sin and death. But now, they all head to the light. They are drawn to it. Sons and daughters, he says, everyone together. Abundance and wealth and a multitude of camels. Almost, it seems as if Isaiah is saying, as far as the eye can see, all coming. And in the midst of all this, mysterious visitors bringing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of God, the God who has come shining the light of his mercy and love into our world and lives of darkness and death. That's Isaiah's vision and prophecy that we heard today. In the darkness, a light shines. That's what Matthew says too. Certain wise men saw it, he says. They saw it and wondered. They'd never seen such a star as this before. Perhaps they discussed what it could mean. Until finally, they concluded it could mean only one thing. The long-awaited, long-promised, long-storied King of the Jews had finally been born. And so they gather their gifts and begin their journey. Only when they arrive, it's as if no one had noticed. There are no big celebrations or national joy for the birth of a king. Only business as usual. Or is it darkness as usual? They're confused, so they inquire where the newborn king can be found. But their question stirs up the ancient darkness and the one who caused it. For Herod's heart is dark. Make no mistake about it. He's a murderer who has already murdered close family for fear they were after his throne. Now, news of a newborn king? The darkness stirred in his wicked heart. The people's hearts were then darkened by fear of the madman who was their ruler. Perhaps the darkness also threatened the hearts of the wise men as they stood before this creepy king, tempting them to go back, to be safe, to give up this search. Could they have been wrong? Well, while they wait and wonder, Herod asked the chief priests and scribes where the Christ so long foretold was to be born. Then he calls the wise men secretly, more strangeness, and tells them what he has learned. You've got the wrong city. He's in Bethlehem, down south. Go find him and then bring me back word so that I too may come and worship him. So with hearts hopeful and maybe a bit anxious, They set out into the darkness again. And they see it again. The mighty light, the star they had seen before, is back again, shining through the darkness of the night, the darkness of the city, and the darkness threatening their hearts, leading them to the place, to the king, to a house, a common house, a normal house, a humble house. But no creepiness here. As they enter the house, they find another light. Isaiah's light. The light brighter than any star to the eyes of faith. It is a child in his mother's lap, and they fall down before him. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, incarnate in human flesh. How long did they stay? How long did they wonder and marvel? They give him their gifts, gifts for one who is a prophet, priest, and king, and then head home. Not the same way, but by a different way, away from the madman. Not the same way, but a different way. For their hearts had been forever changed by what they had seen. Not the same way, but a different way. For a light had now been kindled that would never go out. In the darkness, a light shines. That's what happened to a man named Saul of Tarsus, too. A man who, like creepy Herod, was once a man of darkness. It filled his heart, and he raged against the light that shone from the child grown to manhood. He, too, wasn't afraid to use violence and intimidation, persecution and suffering to try and stamp it out. It's all a lie, he would tell anyone who listened. Don't speak of him, this Jesus. He's nothing but a fraud. Nothing but another condemned and crucified rabble-rouser. And his lunatic followers are sweeping you away with their foolish stories. But then one day, he literally saw the light. The light that this child is, and which he shines into this world. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, incarnate in human flesh, crucified, and now raised from the dead. This light, unlike any other light, blinded him, knocked him off his horse, turned his life upside down and inside out, and set him on a new course. The darkness was driven from his heart that day by that glorious light on the road to Damascus. Light that embraced him, that loved him, that forgave him, that gave him the promise of a life never to end. And then sent him as its messenger. And like the wise men, he departed a different way. For Saul, the persecutor, became Paul, the humble apostle. And he was given this mystery to explain, as we heard him explain today in his letter to the Ephesians. This light that shines in the darkness, this glory, this love, this forgiveness, this life. It's not a light only for this nation or that, or this person or that. It's a light for all people. Even those with hearts as dark as Herod or Saul. And there is no heart too dark, too sinful, too far gone. This light has come to make all people sons of God, heirs of eternal life, members of one body, partakers of this great promise. This great promise that no matter how dark the deepness gets, no matter how threatening, no matter how deep, no matter how evil, it could not, cannot, and will not overcome the light. For Isaiah's light, Paul's light, your light, will continue to shine in the darkness to gather all people in. To gather together, as Isaiah saw, a great multitude of people. Sons and daughters, nations and kings, all coming as one family, gathered around one table, celebrating one feast in a joy that never ends. And where there is no more fear, darkness, tears, separation, suffering, pain, or death. The light of God's mercy and love to make all things new. To make you new. That you too depart a different way. No longer men and women mad with sin, but now forgiven and loved children of your Heavenly Father. In the darkness, a light shines. Yes, that's what's happened to you too, you see. The wise men's star and Paul's blinding light shines here for you too, leading you to this child and to see in him, to see in this man, your Savior. And so into the darkness of your heart, the light of God's love and forgiveness shined in holy baptism. His word and spirit joined to those waters gave you faith to see and believe. Like the faith of the wise men, who against all worldly wisdom fell on their knees and worshipped a humble child. Like the faith of Paul, who against all worldly wisdom proclaimed a crucified man raised from the dead. And that he would raise us too. And the faith to repent. To repent of our sins. And of the darkness we still like to keep in a little corner of our hearts. The darkness that sometimes comes roaring out, that sometimes we use when we need it, that sometimes we think we enjoy, that honestly we're afraid to let go of. But the light of Christ leaves no shadows. And would sweep this darkness away too in forgiveness. That you live a new life. Which is hard because we still live in a dark world. But how do you best battle the darkness? With more darkness? That's silly, isn't it? But it's how we think. It's what we often do. But may it no longer be so. In the darkness, a light shines. And it has shined upon you. So you now shine its light upon others. Conquering the darkness with light. conquering evil with good, hate with love, sin with forgiveness. It's hard. Even scary at times. But that is still the light the darkness could not, cannot, and will not overcome. In the darkness, a light shines. That's Epiphany. For Epiphany is really not about the wise men. It's for the wise men. And it's for you. It is the light of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. The light who went into our deepest darkness, who knew our suffering, who cried our tears, who died our death in darkness on His cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But the light who could not be snuffed out and so who rose from the dead and glorified now sits at the right hand of our Father in heaven. That light which is shining even now through His word and sacrament, which we now see by faith. Until that day when, like Paul, we will see Him with our eyes when He comes again in glory. Until that day, in the darkness, the light is shining. The light of Isaiah, of Paul, of the wise men, and of you. The light gathering all peoples and nations to faith, to one family gathered around one table, celebrating one feast in a joy that will never end. The feast that we will now receive a foretaste of again this morning as we eat and drink the body and blood of our Savior, that His forgiveness and light continue to enlighten and live in us. That we too, following in the footsteps not only of Isaiah and Paul and the wise men, but of all who have gone before us in faith, so that we too may arise and shine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.